We've been looking at family life. We started on Mother's Day, and now we're ended up on Father's Day. It's kind of a nice bookend for a sermon series on the family. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if anybody else feels this way. This is my own personal feeling. If my family's going okay, I can take a lot of problems everywhere else because my family is my central part. But if my family's messed up, nothing else compensates. I want my family to be where it ought to be. And so that's why I take, Mother's Day to Father's Day, just talk about family. We've talked about moms. We talked about brothers and sisters. We talked about marriage. We've even talked about grandparenting. 20 years ago, I would never, hardly ever have a sermon on grandparenting, but now I could preach it every week about grandparenting, every day, but we did that last week. And today I'm finishing up on dads. Talk about dads. Ladies, if you think that the pressure that my sermon on Mother's Day was tough about Proverbs 31 and that lady, the woman that is far above the value of rubies, today we're going to look at God is actually the model for those of us that are men to be dads. And we're going to look at some really good lessons about a story about two sons. So if you look in your Bible to Luke chapter 15, we're just going to take a few minutes and look at this very familiar story. We call it the parable of the prodigal son, but actually it's a story about two sons. We think about one son, but this is really about two boys. And, if you have one child, you may not understand this, but when you have two, it is amazing how two children can grow up with the same parents in the same house and the same experiences and the same everything and be completely different. One likes athletics, one likes school, one is loud, one is quiet, one likes to read, one likes to watch TV. It's one is musical, one is sports. It's amazing how children can be so different. And we're going to discover in this one that we've got basically a good kid and a bad kid. We've got one that makes their parents proud, and we've got one that really is a disappointment to their parents. And sometimes when you have that in your family, you have a child that you say, you know what, I could write a book on how to raise wonderful children. And then the other one shows up, and you have to change that. Because then you have to say, okay, I'm going to write a book on how to make the most mistakes with your kids because I don't know what I'm doing. And so what we find out is that children all are just a little bit different. And we're going to discover this story in Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to read through it, and I'm going to make commentary as I go. So if you'll look at your Bible in Luke chapter 15, we're going to begin in verse 11. Jesus in chapter 15 is really answering some questions or some concerns that people have of why he is spending so much time with sinful, horrible people. Why is he spending so much time with the edge of society? He should be spending time with the good people. And so Jesus has told some stories here. And the first story he told is about a guy that had a sheep that got lost. And he left the 99 sheep in the pen to go out and find the lost sheep. And the lady had 10 coins, and she lost one of her coins in the house. And so she went and tried to find that one coin. And now we find out we have a lost son. And what happens with that? So it says in verse 11, and he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now let me just give you a little bit of history about what Jews did. They had what was called the birthright of the oldest son. What happened was the oldest boy at the death of his father got twice as much as all the rest of the boys. I am all in favor of that since I'm the firstborn. As long as you don't say twice as much debt as my dad had, then I'm okay. All right? And what it was meant was the oldest son had the family responsibility to take over the family farm. He became the head of the whole group, so he got twice as much. And so what happened was the younger boy, he says, I want what's coming to me. I want my inheritance now. I don't wait until you're dead. And in a sense, what he said was, Dad, I want the money, and I don't care if you're alive or dead. So I don't know how the dad did it, but the Bible doesn't say, but probably the dad had to liquidate some of his assets so he could give his son the inheritance that he would have gotten at his death. So he gave him the money. He gave him what was due him. In verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, get away from dad, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He just went crazy. It was spring break until the money went out. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. It's pretty bad for a Jewish boy to get so low. He has no money. All his friends are gone. And now he's got to go and take care of the pigs. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He had nobody that cared for him, and he was so hungry he would have eaten the husks. And verse 17, and when he came to himself, that's a real key one. In other words, he woke up. And dads, we long for the day if we have a prodigal son that he comes to himself, his senses. All of a sudden, it clicks. And he goes, oh. When he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? My dad's servants are doing better than me. My dad's slaves are doing better than me. What am I doing here? He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, this is what I will say. He's practicing how he's going to come back to his dad. You know what? It takes a lot to have to go back to your dad and say, I told you so. I'm sure dad warned him. I'm sure dad pleaded with him. But he says, you know what? This is stupid. I'm going to die out here and it's not worth it. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Dad, I know I'm should be disinherited. I don't want to come back in there, but I have to exist. So let me be one of your servants. He says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, this is so good, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That was completely not appropriate for a respected Jewish father to run. But he did. He was so excited that his son had come back to him that he ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, I just want to stop that. He would not allow his son to continue his little speech. His dad said, that's enough. In other words, he didn't say anything about make me one of your servants. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. And the father said to him, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and bring a ring on his hand, which represented family, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it, let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. That's an interesting thought because every one of these little parables, after they found it, they had a celebration. If you've ever lost something that is valuable, you know what that's like. And this is interesting. If you've ever had a child that has gone the wrong direction, there is no heartache like it. Nothing like it. When you see your child go down a wrong path, the only one that understands it is another parent that has a child that is heading in the wrong direction. When they're 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 10 and 12 and maybe even 15 and 16, you can begin to curb the direction of their life. But once they kind of get out on their own and they're gone, you are really left with very little to go on except, God, please help me. And that is very, very difficult. It's interesting in this whole chapter as he talks about the lost things. It's interesting the similarities that are there. All the sheep and the coin and the boy, they were all lost. We found out that there was a search that was made and wanted them to come back. They were very valuable. When they found them, there was a celebration. But there's some things that are different. The sheep was lost because it's just a sheep, and sheep wander around with no leader to give them in there. He just wandered. The coin was lost by the negligence of the lady. She just lost the coin in the house and didn't know where it was at. The boy was lost because of rebellion. And it's interesting is the sheep was lost, and the shepherd went out to find it because that's what, you know, sheep do. So he went out to find it. The coin was lost, and the lady went in the house and swept it and swept it until she found that coin. When the boy was lost, the father didn't go because he knew that you need to give some time for that boy to come back. And that's the hardest thing to do, is wait for them to come back. But he did, and we'll get to that in a minute. This is a story of two sons. And a lot of times we forget about that second son. And here's the problem. We often think of prodigal sons. We often think of people that are rebellious. But we don't think about the destiny and the attitude of the older son. So let's read that. This is the one I don't like as much because it reflects me too many times. And it says in verse 25, "Now his elder son was in the field." He was working. "And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.'" And notice his reaction. "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." He went out. Boy was angry. He was pouting. "I'm not going in." And he's going to find out why. Verse 29, "And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. I've done everything right. I've stayed with you. I've worked hard. I've not run out and rebelled. And yet you never did anything for me like this.' And verse 30, 'But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots,'" he was pretty specific about what he did with his money, "'thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said to him," the father said, "'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet," or "it was good," or "it was appropriate that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" He said, "Son, no, you don't understand. He's back. And it's good for us to celebrate." And it's kind of sad because Jesus doesn't finish the story. We don't know what the boy did. Did he stay out in the field and pout? Did he repent and come back in? This is a story kind of a boy that does the bad things, but he comes back and he becomes the good son, the repentant son. And the good son, who did everything right, ends up in a bad light. And this is a reflection of this. And so what we have here is we have a story of really three different people: the father and the two sons. So here's the lessons. Here's the lessons that we have. First of all, if you're a father, if you're a parent, okay, here's a good lesson. Number one, be patient. If you're a father, no matter what your children are, you must be patient. The hardest thing to do as a parent is let them go. The hardest thing to do is let them make their own choices in life. You will always be the mom, you will always be the dad, I understand that. But sometimes we have to let them learn their own lessons the hard way. And oh, it is really, really hard. But you need to just be patient with your children, be patient with yourself, be patient with God, and always love them. The whole story about this, about the father, is a loving father. That is, the picture is he's waiting on the porch, waiting for his son to come back. He's looking down the driveway, waiting for his son to come around the corner and see him come in. He's waiting for him to come back. And we must always let them know how much we love them. We don't agree sometimes with what our children are doing. We don't agree with the direction, never compromise right and wrong, but we always love them. You can disagree with somebody and still love them. This isn't politics. You can love them and continue to love them and grant forgiveness. This father completely gave forgiveness of what he had done. He would not let him be a servant. You're not my servant, you are my son. And now that you have come back and admitted your sin, he did. I've sinned against heaven and before you. He admitted his sin, he says, that's repentance. You know what, I am going to fully forgive you. So we need to forgive our children as they come back. But that's hard to be a prodigal father. It's hard to be a father that has children that turn away from God. So there's a lesson for that. Now here's a lesson for the prodigal. If today you find yourself running away from God, you're not close to him. You've gotten away. You've drifted. And sometimes I had somebody say this, I've done too many things for God to forgive me. I am too bad. You cannot imagine what I've done. Probably not. But I know this, whatever you have done, you have a heavenly father that loves you more than you even realize. And so here's the lesson from this. Because Jesus is telling this because it's the heavenly father is the father. And many are prodigals. No matter how far you may run away, God will always love you and want you near him. You may think that God is so far. But you know what? The problem is you don't realize how close God is to you. If you just turn to him, he is there. Whatever you have done, he is ready and willing to forgive you. He has already made the sacrifice to completely forgive you of your sin. He wants you to be with him forever. And Roy sang several songs about heaven and what it's going to be like. And heaven is a perfect place. And when we have sin, we can't go there. It's a place of reunion. It's a place of pleasure. It's a place of just peace. And what God says is God says you can't go there in your sin, but I've sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross that if you will simply turn to him, he has paid to remove all of your sins. And all you have to do is turn to him. You don't have to be a servant anymore. You don't have to work it off. He has forgiven you completely. He wants you to be his child. And all you got to do is turn to him. I don't care how far you are. I don't care what you've done. But I'll say this. You have to come to yourself. You have to say, you know what? This is stupid. If I stay in this condition and I die, which we all will, I'll spend forever in hell. And all I got to do is turn around and come to God and he'll accept me as my father. Let me just say this. It's stupid to stay where you're at. Why would a person stay in a pig pen wanting to eat the husks when he's got a home that would welcome him with more than he can handle? And I just beg of you, for your sake, for the Father's sake, turn to him. But we also have an older son, and he's the pious one. He's the one that did everything right. And this is where many of us that are church people, we fall into this way too much. Now, not that we're perfect, and this boy wasn't perfect. We find out he wasn't perfect. But you know what? He had done the right things. He was a good kid. He served his father. And he got a little bit envious, a little bit jealous of the celebration that was his father's. And so what I find it's real easy for us to get a bad attitude about things. You see, what happened was he didn't have the care and love for his brother that his father had. Faithful service to God cannot substitute for genuine love for God. You can be right where you're supposed to be morally and spiritually and yet be far, far away from God. I used to hear a preacher say this, the easiest place to backslide is in the pew of the church. Because you know what? We can begin to develop this attitude. You know what? He did what he did. He wasted his money. He deserves it. Let him go. Who cares about him? That wasn't the attitude of the father. The father says, I love him, and I want him to come back. And so here's the thing. When we have the burden that our father has for the lost, then we will go out and we will search for them. It's real easy for us to dismiss people, to say, you know what? Yeah, you blew it. You did this. You did this. You know what? Let's go. I want to work with the people that are where I want them to be. That's not Jesus' attitude. Love the people that are around you. Love the people that are furthest away from God. Those are the ones that God wants to bring to him. And here's the thing. This is not really a story about two sons. This is a story about three sons. We have the prodigal son. We have the older son. And we have the begotten son. Jesus is telling this story. He's telling the story. And here's what I want you to know. He left the father's home to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're saved today, if you're a Christian, he came to you in your sin and brought you back to the Father's house. He wants us to do the same with those that are furthest away. So we have a responsibility. If we're far away from God, we need to come to him. If we're close to God, we need to go out to the people that are lost and bring them back in. Because the Father loves us all. He doesn't love the son furthest away less than he loves the son that is right next to him. He doesn't love us more than he loves anybody else. He loves us all and wants us all to be close to him. Let's bow our heads just for a few moments. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to come to yourself. I want you to have that little mini conversation with yourself and make a decision what you're going to do. I need to move somewhere. You really can't stay still after this. You need to move either closer to God because you're a prodigal and far away from God, or you need to move closer to somebody who is lost and try to bring them back to God. So what will it be in your life? Are you willing to say to God, God, I have sinned, and I want to be part of your family. I repent and turn to you. I want to be your child. He will accept you just like this father celebrated and accepted this lost son. Or you might be pretty close to your father. Oh, you're not perfect. Nobody is. But you're close to your father. But do you have your father's heart? Do you care about the lost? Do you go to search and to find those that are furthest from God and share it? In a few moments, Barb's going to play through. And if you want to just come and pray about that next step in your life, that direction, I'd encourage you to do that. We got somebody that's going to be baptized here this morning, and so we're going to allow him to come up and get ready for baptism. Make your decision. Which way are you going to move today? Closer to God, which is always a good place, or maybe you need to move closer to those that are lost to bring them back to Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for Jesus who left the Father's house to come to this earth to do whatever it took to bring us to your house. And it took the cross. Help us to do whatever it takes to bring people to Jesus. And if there's somebody here that is far away from Jesus, I pray today would be the day that they come to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.